Blog Talk Radio. Thank you. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. You have tuned in to Hood Talk Radio. It's your boy, Emax the Image, and I am the coolest host in the world here to talk to you and hope that you have something you want to say too. 646-478-0944. That's the number to call in tonight live to speak to your host. And if anyone is going to call in, you'll be able to speak to them. I'm supposed to get Border Restless on the line tonight. Miss Contagious. You know what I'm saying? They've been on vacation. So talked to them last night. We were supposed to be on the air with us tonight. So hopefully, you know, they'll have time to chime in with us. But it's a lot of things going on in our community out here in Cleveland, Ohio. I'm glad to say that I was able to join Ernest L. Smith and his birthday / school supply / food giveaway today. They always giving something away, you know, and I didn't know that the support that they had out there today was just a small fraction of what usually comes into their establishment. I want y'all to check them out. Right now, they have the weekly black-on-black crime meeting over at the office in McCall's Motel right there on the corner of Deeper than Leap. And what's going on right now as we speak. I want to say thank you to all of those listeners out there online, those that call in. We thank you because you guys are showing us some great support. Our numbers are soaring through the roof, so I thank you for that in itself. All right, don't forget, on Monday nights from 9 to 10 p.m., we have Al Porter Jr.'s Man in the Streets. And tonight, as always, and every Wednesday, is Hood Talk Radio from 9 to 10:30. And we also have Hood Tunes Radio on Friday and Saturday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Hold on, somebody is calling a phone.
Don't make no sense to me.
Nope. Nope.
It don't make no sense to me.
Fouché. E-Max.
Yeah, we just gonna take this quick ride.
Yeah.
Let me split your head right quick.
Oh, man. Your face full of fingerprints, saying that you're sick of it, seems like you're loving it, screaming that this shit getting old, I can't tell, the way that your eye and your lip bone swole, your arm that been broke, your neck that been choked, your head got a patch, your ribs that been cracked, man, and I swear, and you keep running back, for real, through the dick got you dumb like that,
got to the way your mind can see. Sometimes make it hard for you to breathe. Wanna just know your life, but just the walls don't make no sense to me at all. Girl, why are you going through a thing? This relationship is up in chains. This nigga is your downfall, don't make no sense to me at all.
Good. Tell me, what the hell is wrong with you? What are you doing? Your wife out here banging other dudes. Driving your car, spending your cash. Got another nigga name tatted on her ass. Maxing out your credit card, giving you no sex at all. Y'all thump and bump and the cops come. Man, listen, this bra's a lost call. Don't make no sense at all.
Got you to where your mind can't see. Sometimes make it hard for you to breathe. Wanna just throw your life against the wall. Don't make no sense to me. Dude, why are you going through a thing? This relationship is up in chains. This is your downfall. Don't make no sense to me at all.
Look, baby girl, your your man ain't gon' change, and you trying to change him, that's highly insane. You need to leave, and it's your time to leave. Don't make no sense to me
at all.
Man, why is you sticking around? She playing you, clown. Another nigga dick in the down. Got you moped out, feeling depressed and looking all down. Don't make no sense to me.
Got you to where your mind can't see. Sometimes make it hard for you to breathe. This is gonna be a downfall. Don't make no sense to me at all. Nigga, why is you going through a thing? Relationship is on the chain. Wanna just throw your life against the wall. Don't make no sense to me at all.
Alright, y'all, alright. Sorry about that. That was Fouché and your boy E. Maxwell at all. I just want to explain, sometimes people call my phone and don't understand that I am on the air. So, we're trying to eliminate that situation as much as possible. So I ask you to forgive me. But, like I was saying, thank you to all my listeners online, to all my callers, those that support us. We thank you. I'm trying to upload a couple of videos that I took today of the function over at McCall's Motel, which is the Black on Black Crime Incorporated headquarters. And we was out in the parking lot, and I mean, it was so surprising. Seriously, it was so surprising that a lot of the people from the community over in Ward 3 support Ernest L. Smith. He's running for council out there. You know, I like the fact that, you know, they don't try to make people go to church, so to speak. When they say we giving stuff away, I mean, they gave stuff away. They gave away DVDs. They gave away school supplies for the kids. They cooked food. Everybody had hamburger, hot dogs, pop. And, I mean, it was enough for everybody to go around, and believe it or not, it was very shocking. The food line never went down, but it was enough food to go along. Shouts out to the cook. I never got his name. Those cheeseburgers was banging, cuz. Thank you. We really need to pay attention and focus more on our families. And by doing that, of course, we can do a little upgrading in our communities and doing some things like that that could actually help folks, man. You know, people really need help nowadays, you know what I'm saying? I mean, today was a testimony of everything that pretty much we stand for. One of the things the young man always said, and he kept repeating tonight, was, on November the 5th, remember Smith. So everybody that's out there in the Cleveland area, if you can get out there and when it comes time for voting, and I do believe that he's going to continue to promote his candidacy for council in Ward 3. Now, I don't want y'all to be afraid. Now, there's a lot of diversity. There's a lot of calamity going on in East Cleveland, but that's everywhere, and that's not to make an excuse for anything or anyone, but the fact still remains is that it's bullshit going on all over this country. And so, you know, as people, we can't be biased to where we are and you know, what we're dealing with in one particular area, because we are all in the same boat, literally. Not figuratively or imaginatively, anything. It is actually literally, meaning actually. We are all in the same boat, black, white, green, blue. And the weird part is that a lot of those that are considered rich to the ones that are considered poor. They're feeling it too. And believe it or not, it's those haves, it's the people that have that are actually speaking out. It's the have-nots that just go along with the program, you know. We, as the have-nots, don't, we don't say too much. You know what I'm saying? And I just don't think that is cool in itself, especially when we're the ones on the bottom of the pile that's filling all other people. You know, we get to do all the hard labor. We get to do all the shit that don't nobody else want to do. You know, they always talk about what the Mexicans or the Puerto Ricans or the foreigners do. Well, it's people right here in this country that was born in this country. I was born in this state, in this city, in this county. Okay, that will do just about anything to earn an honest dollar. So, you know, let's not put off the fact that even though everyone is in the same boat and we do have a heart for those that are going through the same things we're going through, but the fact still remains I am in Cleveland, Ohio, and as far as I can reach, this is where I am. And I'm constantly seeing the same things in my own community. Now, when it comes to the so-called police state, I've dropped the first two words and the hyphen because we are living in a police state. Anytime you can, you know, the people are paranoid of the police. You know, and there's nothing that we've done. It's basically policies and new rules and laws that are being handed down that they must follow. Some of them are a little bit anxious to follow the new rules, and some of them are actually not for the shit. You know, but it's the luck of the cards to, you know, run up on one of those officers that are on that shit. You know what I'm saying? So in New York, they have the stop and frisk policies where, you know, they are targeting, you know, African-American men and the Latinos, but I haven't seen much interaction with the Latino population as far as being in the news. You know what I'm saying? Maybe if they were as dark as some of us, maybe they might have issues, but truth of the matter is, man, I haven't seen much news about Latinos being harassed by the police. So far, it's just been us. You know what I'm saying? We are the ones that stay in trouble. You know what I'm saying? We stay in trouble. We always, you know, bubble gum's always on us. You know what I mean? And so I honestly believe that there is something that we can do besides being, you know, afraid to go out, you know, not wanting to get pulled over for some bullshit or whatever. But the fact still remains, you got to go out. You have to work. Just keep your shit legit. You know what I'm saying? Make sure your insurance is tight. Your license are good, you know what I'm saying? And try to, you know, avoid running stop signs. Anything that you can do to avoid being pulled over by the police. You know what I'm saying? Just try to make sure that all our shit is covered. And ain't no reason to get all blowed up and be all indignant because they done pulled you over. That's really irrelevant. Each and every last one of us can go through those situations, but it's up to you to how you handle it. Because the truth of the matter is, they wait for you to get irate. They wait for you to get indignant, and believe it or not, they have little signs that they look for, like, you may be nervous you get pulled over by the police, which is only natural. Well, they'll find, they look at that shit and there's something wrong. So they've been trained to look beyond what they pulled you over for. Okay, so that's just another way of saying that, you know, we can search your car and all of that shit just based on what we feel. You know, that probable cause shit, that's a motherfucker. I mean, it's up to them to say, well, we feel like, you know, you was doing something wrong. You know, you could have been sitting at a red light and they could pull up next to you and you don't look at them and you pull up and then they'll pull over you because they, what does this nigga think? Who does this motherfucker think he is? Only knowledge us. You know, sometimes they ride around looking for people to fuck with, and that's what they do. They have quotas to fill. You know, so it's like if they ain't doing their job, if they don't come back with this many tickets or this many arrests or this many felony arrests, you know what I'm saying? So it's all about what they have to do. It's not about what they want to do or what they're hired to do. They're hired according to what we believe, patrol our neighborhoods and serve and protect the community. But that in itself is not the actual scope of their position. You know what I'm saying? They actually, in my opinion, are here to keep us in a position where we don't know what's really going on. You know what I'm saying? We'll never really know what's going on until we get in a position to fight back. Right? So once we figure out how to fight back, then, you know, without having to be killed and all this and all of that shit, then we will be in a better position. All right? So let's try to figure out what we're going to do. Let's try to make life easier for ourselves, you know what I'm saying, just by making sure a lot of people take care of them. That don't mean you got to be afraid of nothing. That don't mean you got to do nothing special. Just make sure that all your business is take care of and shit so that if it do happen, you ain't got nothing to worry about. You ain't got to worry about the motherfuckers talking crazy, all right? So what we going to do is get into this track right quick. This is Against the Grain. Al Porter Jr., and it is a HJS Productions with B Swish.
Yeah, they ain't ready for us. Yeah, I was watching Rooster today. They ain't ready for me. Thinking about Pussy Kent saying,
some things in life will never change. Some things in life will never change. I keep going against the grain. I keep going against the grain.
Just in the block of getting knocked. The only thing I knew was the block. And everybody else being castrated. He couldn't reach. And now she feel the bug. She sell her soul in the street. She feel the thug. He feel the drug. Of that lie, of that loud pack. Of the mirror, of that Keisha. And everybody file back. Tell me what you know about that loud pack. I tell you what that loud at. And I tell you what that sound at. Yeah, I be intermittent coming down in Grandy. Say, Mr. Miley, blackout sounds, you know we can't. Yeah, I keep on making beats, really off the stand quick. Every time I come, it's critical, I'm off the stand, yeah. But I feel MJ, to the day I feel for Fraction. To back to Martin Luther King, what that happened? My people went to jail, to an all high, and to sexism. To they feel, to they drive, to this Illuminati. And they play with their body to any rules. And everybody acting naughty. I done told you from the loose. I told you about the Great Goose. Nothing in the booth. Locker room, I done speak the truth.
Some things in life will never change. Some things in life will never change. I keep going.
When I started, days of old, drop top 9-8, before the Gucci lanes, the Waka Flocka flambés. Out the gate, I spoke real to adults and youth. The critics told me they can't handle the truth. Knowledge of self, my ancestors, they wore crowns. This mental monarch couldn't dumb his words down. If the lie's on the left, I'ma turn right. My neighborhood needs a light just to shine bright. Now when I started, Mayor White was acting white, huh? And the cops would shoot us down on sight. New mayor, but now we taking our own lives. Police now shoot us 137 times. It's real life, and all my people are feeling pain. Refuse to rap the same like Trinidad James. Like Django Unchained, you can bring whips to cause pain. Whip me till I bleed, I'm going against the grain.
Some things in life will never change. Some things in life will never change. I keep going against the grain. I keep going against the grain.
Every morning when I wake up, I'm thinking about a mix-up that's gonna get me messed up. Sometimes I'm thinking about trying to slow up, and I gotta do that or stay strapped. Cause when it comes to this rap, it becomes just another day in the life. But in no dub set, cause I ain't gotta perpetrate my life in the trap. If I say I did it, I lived it, and it's a straight known fact. Cause when these rappers going loud on their song saying that they did that, that's when they play with their demons in the closet doing that real nasty crap. How many times have I told you my career don't involve around that? That'll get you caught in a delicate situation called the dirt nap. In my city, we don't mislead it, coming down trying to cap. We stay away from wannabe gangsters and disrespectful hood rats. So while you sleeping on the house like you gone off that crack, BHS gon' have an alliance bigger than a college frat. And if you don't wanna be looked at as the world's biggest sap, then get your head in the right direction and off the next man's lap. Yeah.
Some things in life will never change. Some things in life will never change. I keep going against the grain. I keep going against the grain.
Sorry about that, y'all. 646-478-0944. That's the number to call in. It's your boy E. Max, the Image. And yes, we are here. It is Hood Talk Radio. One of the things I did talk about was the function that OPN had today out there in East Cleveland. And like I said, man, it was a wonderful presentation. I was actually impressed and a little bit enthused by the energy that was coming from the people, you know, saying out there, and you would not believe. And I thought that because we don't see the shit, you know, on this side of town, you know, that much, where, you know, people get out there and they stay on the street corners and talk, excuse me, they hold vigils and this and that and the other. East Cleveland is in a place, man, where the people don't have a choice but to get out there and, you know, support the political structure that's out there. And believe it or not, most of the people that's involved in the political structure is from those wars, from those neighborhoods, you know what I mean? And I have, you know, questions, and I do have questions for all those politicians out there that, you know, run for a council seat or a mayor seat. And even though I choose to distance or limit my interaction with those politicians, not out of fear, but out of respect for the person, not the job. Because, you know, y'all that know me know how I feel about politics. You know, it's a crying shame, it's a bad thing. But we caught up in it. It's all we have right now. You know what I'm saying? I don't like politics. Politicians make so many fucking promises they know they can't keep. But it's all an act. It's just like, you know, if I was singing a song and I want you to buy my CD, I'd make sure that you felt the words that I was singing in my song. You know what I'm saying? So when it's all said and done, I enjoy the presentation that was put on by OPN, excuse me, and Ernest L. Smith this evening, man. You know, he got the smile, he got the wave, and it's fine. You know, he had on his suit and everything, and it's clear he came professional. He did what he said he was going to do. He passed out a lot of stuff for the kids. Hell, I even got some for my kids, and I was the man that was providing the music. I was the sound man this evening. So I was able to get, you know, some school supplies for my children, too. And so that right there in itself, and I was able to eat. You know what I mean? So, you know, I mean, a hamburger, a couple pops, you know, it was cool. So it's not like a lot of places where, you know, people come and they want you to support them and this, that, and the other. They're handing out papers and pencils or ink pens and ballots to register you to vote and this, that, and the other, and then throw you a bottle of water. No, they did it right. They barbecued for the people. They gave away food. They gave away CDs and DVDs of the things that they do, you know what I'm saying? And we appreciate that. We appreciate that. And I know those people out there in East Cleveland appreciate it too. Shouts out to the Help House. That's right across the street. Our house, you know what I'm saying? Our Help House. It's a community service center, and it's directly across the street from McCall's. You know what I'm saying? They got a barbershop over there, too, the Cuts, you know. And we're sending shouts out to all of them. So what we do here is basically we try to put everybody in the frame that, you know, you can decide to do some things for yourself. That right there, you know, that was pretty much the day. You know, I had a good time. It was a few hours, but, you know, it could have lasted longer. But they had a thing to do, and I had to be here so that I can, you know, share some things with you guys. Okay, we talked about Ernest. Now, before I get into what I really wanted to talk about was this thing called the Glass Eagle. You know, I do a lot of research, and I'm listening to some of the things that's happening in our community, and I'm tripping on it because it's actually the fallout of what's happening up top. You know, if you think about it, the pyramid has a detached cone on the top. And then you have the actual pyramid itself. So, I forgot the name that they gave, that the Egyptians gave that small, the pyramidion, okay? That's like the little small detached pyramid on top of the big pyramid, which they always used. You know what I mean? They always used that on their pyramids. Now, I'm looking at my dollar bill here. And on the back of the dollar bill, it says, Anuit Septis. All right? Anuit Septis is Novus. I can't read that. This damn dollar's all beat up. But y'all get the point. It's a new world order shit going down. And right now, we're at war with the banks. Believe it or not, we're at war with the banks. If you don't understand or you don't know, then what you need to do is go to Google or Yahoo or whatever your search engine is, Bing, whatever it may be, find you a search bar, and you want to go to Glass-Steagall. It's STEAGAL or if it's STEGAL, but it's Glass-Steagall. And you really want to check that out. There's a lot of information out there, but the bottom line is that right now we are at war with the banks of the world. We're at war with the banks of the world. We're at war with the Queen of England, and I don't mean just the Queen. She's backing a policy that would have been trashed in 1999, but it was repealed in 1999 so that they could continue and actually move forward. According to the information I got, it was sent forward with, by Bill Clinton. It was mentioned as far as back as Lyndon B. Johnson, but it became a mess, so to speak, in 1999. And basically, what Glass-Steagall is about is that the banks would like to become, or if they haven't already, multi-faceted industries. Banks want to become your lender. They want to become your broker. They're already your merchant in your commercial financial institution. And now they want to be everything to you. So if you own a company, they want to be the ones that finance your shit. If you own any damn thing, they want to be the one that says, this is what's going down, all right? They want to be the ones to get your money. They want to be the ones to take the money. They want to be the ones to loan you some money. Hello there. They want to be the ones to set the rate for any investments that you may have. Say if you own a business, you want to invest in another business. Well, the bank is going to allow you to invest in that business, but through them, they're going to broker the deal. When you need to set up your paperwork, the banks want to broker the deal. When you need a loan, you know, to fund the mission, the banks want to broker the deal. They don't only want to be the one that you deposit your checks to and that you make your withdrawals and your deposits and you pay your bills from. They want to control each and every aspect of your financial life, not just yours, mine, and everyone else's. The problem with that is that there's so many people in this world that have their own that we would be remiss to think that they wouldn't touch our personal shit. Okay, now, from what I'm understanding, the Queen of England is threatening, through the banks, to shut the whole fucking country down. So anybody that opposed the fact that they want to take all the money and make all the money, control all the money, which is the world base right now, that's pretty much doing it anyway, outside of a few vetoes that went down, they want to take everything we have. And so right now, they're using it as the crutch that just might pitch our financial collapse. And if they pass these policies, and if this repeal is enacted, then the fact that they setting up a lot of part-time jobs to hire, the fact that they don't want to pay the insurance to the people, all of that shit is going to come out in the limelight. A lot of people don't believe you when you tell them that the reason why there's a lot of part-time jobs being created is because, according to what we ignorantly call Obamacare, they will be requiring for the employers. Right. And if the employer don't want to pay for all your motherfucking benefits, you ain't going to get them. That's right. You make 40 hours. Yeah. But you classify this part-time just so they don't have to pay you no motherfucking insurance. Yeah, people need insurance, man, because you can go to the hospital right now and not have no insurance and see what's going to happen. They're going to make you fill out a ton of paperwork. Yeah. Damn right. The motherfucker going to have a presidential seal on that piece of paper say you owe us. You know? You know what I found to be a little bit funny? Is that you got to work for somebody to get the insurance. But what about the people that own their own business? What about those that are self-employed? Are they supposed to contact Cozy and set up the insurance for them? They need to do that? Wow. Yeah, because and more people you start working for you.
If you don't have
shopping around,
if you don't have no insurance, you can shop around.
You know what else? You looking at it. You shopping around for the best price, right? The cheapest shit, but I'm
it might not be right. That's like, it's sorry, like that $7,500 SR box. You know, the way they're making cars nowadays, if you run into somebody, you know that $7,500 ain't going far. It'll fix a couple of wheels and patch up a bone or two, but yeah, it's all part of the plan. It's like they know, well, 9 out of 10 accidents only, you know, pick up about $6,000-$7,000 worth of damage. You know, body damage and all this and all of that. Yes.
Another thing with it,
oh yeah. Yeah. Your zip code. Your zip code, yeah. I didn't know that either. One of them, do you have a garage? I'm like, yes. You know what I'm saying?
They act like they didn't want to cover our house in the driveway. Not even the driveway, the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
One side is still higher than the other. Walk. Mike, you really don't see anything on public house. And that's what happens to occurrence. Not anything.
Especially when you got a tree.
The city for the praise.
It's the tree that's making the concrete slab shit. But they not cracked. They not damaged. They
just bumped.
Yeah, they just bumped. You know?
Natural occurrence.
Yeah.
No, it's big business, and unfortunately, because we don't have the chippers to get in the game, then we have to be the dogs that hang around the table and waiting for the scraps to fall.
Well, that's only because we fell into the trap.
Dropped
off. This is what I call the trap, where it's no longer hanging loose for. Beating you, crush you back, forcing you to do something you don't want to do. They whip you with one simple good word. It's called valet.
Yep.
And when they whoop you with a valet, you can't move nowhere.
But you know,
you can't get no job. You try to go get a job, you got to go in there, turn your asshole inside out. Bang.
Yep.
And that's beg,
hear me beg from the bottom of your soul
hey.
That you can give me an opportunity. But let that pretty white one break the law and commit the same crime. He will not be treated the same way.
They'll give him a second chance. They'll give him a second chance. Just because, just like Dr. Claude Anderson say, they have the complexion for the protection of the collection. And it's the truth. Well, I know I ain't heard Paul Mooney. Yeah, but then I would say that Mr. Anderson repeated just like I did what Paul Mooney said. They have the complexion for the protection of the collection, and it's the truth, man. It is the fucking truth, and I want to say. That's right. Oh man, everybody getting nervous.
He's a big old white man. He don't get into
shape
like that. He's just
a
big old white.
Shit, this big-ass black boy, 20 years old, about 6'4". Every time they turn around, he get it pulled in the office for something stupid. Now, and I told him what it was. I said, see, the same thing that's going on right here in the Inkpen is going on in this country. What they're trying to do is make sure that they can manipulate your brain into being almost paranoid about what you're doing, losing your job and all that shit. Here's a white lady, and she ain't even fucking white. I wouldn't know what you call this. She Croatian.
White enough. Okay?
White enough. She puts a little young boy to the side, and she said, I need you to come in the office with me. And he was like, what did I do? You know, she looked at him funny, like, didn't I say go in the office? We need to have a talk. So she pulled the young boy into the office with the boss. Turned around and said, see, young boy, what's going on with you today? I mean, you moping around and everything. You acting like you're not excited to be here. Like you happy to do your job. And he said, yeah, he was doing his work. He said, he turned around and he looked at her and he said, I'm bored. This is a dead-end job. Y'all told me when I first started working here, she had all kind of shit she could teach me and that I could learn and move around in the company, and it's a good company to work for and this and that and the other. And for a year and a half, he's still a temp. And for a year and a half, he's still on the same two or three machines up in the front of the building where they won't even let him go past the drill press.
They
on that racism shit, that's right.
They keep their wife coming apart from the higher pay.
Yep.
Better ways. Mm-hmm. Why they keep the niggas in the lower level shit? Well,
won't teach a nigga shit. Motherfucking hungries bring their kids in. Now, it's in the labor laws. Fucking, like, it's plain as day, nepotism. They came up with a word for it. It's not legal. It's illegal to bring your motherfucking man these motherfuckers. Look.
Especially if you don't own the business.
And let me tell you how they do. The hunky son talks shit to a nigga because he know his father the boss.
Yep.
And right before he get ready to get his ass whooped, of course they got to let the nigga go because, you know, oh, no, we got to protect the white man. I don't know how many motherfucking times I done told the white man, you made a mistake, and he, let me get back to you on that. But if I make a motherfucking mistake, I got the whole fucking front office standing in my face like, why, how, who, what, when? And I always tell the motherfuckers,
but
check
you
your paperwork.
You the carpet,
oh, yeah.
You know, I let it be known, biggest nose in my fucking face.
These motherfuckers, now what's crazy is that the new people then took over the company and they worse. They worse. All them blonde hair and blue eyes, even the old ones, blonde hair and blue eyes. It's only a couple of them that come up in the front office now. It was a whole office full of brown hair, brown eyed people, white people. But they all gone. There's only one left, and he's the puppet. Yeah, but they know how to do the job. Even the ones that had education in the flat. Yeah, you ain't, we on the blonde hair, blue eyed motherfuckers. We got demographic. We need short people with blonde hair or white hair, and they got to have light color eyes. Yeah. And they stupid. They stupid. Them motherfuckers, that's right. This motherfucker got mad at me. The black man. This black man told their motherfucking ass, you know what? Ain't none of y'all qualified to be my bosses. So it's only two things that you motherfuckers can do. Give me a raise or let me go. That's the only thing. There's only two ways nowadays. There's only two ways to help a motherfucker in this damn, as cheese always say, corporate world bullshit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's only two ways now. It was a time when you could go into a job, man, and stay there and perform, and they'll look out for you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they don't give a fuck. If you go on a job performing, and this is advice to everybody out there in the job hunting world, everybody that's working right now, do not let them motherfuckers think. If you're working already, don't let them motherfuckers treat you like this the last job that's on the planet or this the only job you're going to get. Because guess what? One motherfucking thing that I understand is when one door closes, another one opens. And at this point, they're afraid of the youth. So they're not really hiring the youth. They're hiring the older people in these bullshit-ass jobs that the kids need to be doing. Because, you know, the kids used to be the ones who get the Rally Burgers and the McDonald's jobs when they get out of school for the summer. Now you got a 67-year-old motherfucker in the back flipping burgers. You got an ex-motherfucking dope head that's about 49 or 50 up in the front taking orders. And she got a motherfucking attitude.
Yep.
And she just smoked her motherfucking teeth gone.
Right. Exactly.
Look all fucked up, and they got her ass up on the front line dealing with the customers.
Right.
Yeah. What you want? Bitch, I want a motherfucking number two. What's a number two? If her ass don't know what the fuck the man. She's supposed to be in the back cleaning up. She ain't supposed to be up here with all these damn fucked up ass kids. And the fucked up part about the fucked up ass kids is that they don't have no respect for themselves. So they got a job just so they can go and get their hair and their nails done and keep their iPhone on.
Yep.
And so that when the new movies come out, they can go chase that old nigga that don't care about them down and spend all their check on
them.
They need to wake up. They're not fans. New entrapment, domestic violence.
Yep.
and driving under suspension.
Driving under suspension, man, that's damn near felony.
That's your new dope game.
Yeah.
And they're locking you up fast for you to die tonight. The penal system is suffering bodies. The cattles are not facilitating the corrals. Therefore,
you know what I'm saying? That's right. You know what the facilitation is? Send them to prison. Because this is, believe it or not, man, and I watched a fucking article and I read this shit. I even did some extra research just to make sure that what the fuck I was reading was what I was reading. The title of the article was, "What Do You Do with the Slaves You No Longer Need?" And so, The narrator of the article and the audio documentary basically broke down some quotes and some policies, and they got it. This is what we're going to do with all the slaves we don't want, we don't need. First thing we got to do is streamline the job pool. Okay, we got to make it so we don't got a motherfucker wiping off a window, and we got another motherfucker sweeping the floor. And then we got another motherfucker cleaning the bathrooms. Let's have a motherfucker to clean the bathrooms, sweep the floor, and wash the windows. So that's two other people that ain't got a job. Okay, so now we got the man that's wrapping skids, counting the parts and making the boxes, weighing the shit and shipping the shit, doing the paperwork. He's also the delivery driver. Remember when a delivery driver used to sit around and wait until his truck was loaded up, and he got his routes, and he was gone. Yeah. Now.
That's the word now when you apply for a job, you have that job.
Yeah, multitasking. You have to be able to work any shift and be able to encroach and go into any type of position that they need you. So if the position they need you for today normally pays somebody $17 to $18 an hour, and you come in as a temp at $10.50, you gonna make $10.50 doing a job that somebody was getting paid $17 to $18 for. And guess what? If that motherfucker take off too many days, yeah. And if he take off too many days at $17 to $18 an hour, they gonna let him know. And we got a motherfucker that we paid $10.50 while you wasn't here, and he did just as good as you. As a matter of fact, he was more enthusiastic about getting this little $10.50.
You're correct.
You can have a fucking gold star on your machine. Them motherfuckers will come up to you the day after you come back to work. Say, what was you at yesterday? They got employees. There's more employees than it is jobs. And so because they don't want to create more jobs, you know what they do? Everything you do is a felony. Everything you fucking do is a felony. They don't want misdemeanors. The jails is already crowded with motherfuckers with misdemeanors. Driving under suspension, driving while intoxicated, all of that shit.
How long does this
take? What, 24 hours still? 8 hours maybe? Time served most of the time?
It's legality. You go get on a misdemeanor charge for more than 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
Fellas, you love catching
this one. Yeah, and that's what they're doing, because check it out. And it's a lot of motherfuckers against the shit, because it ain't retroactive. What they're trying to do is to get rid of the mandatory minimum. Okay? Because what's happening is, if you notice, even that motherfucker Castro, after he had them girls strung up and stuck in his basement for 10 years doing God knows what, he took a fucking plea deal.
Why?
That's right.
How?
Why and how? Why did they offer this nigga a plea deal?
Right. Because what? No question in what he done. He had his ass dead and right. So why
would they offer him a plea deal? You know why? Because they knew he ain't going to be the only motherfucker sitting in jail for the rest of his life under some bogus bullshit that they call a plea deal. All
right.
Check it out, man. We got you red-handed and shit. We just need to know if we need to send you to prison for 25 years or you going to plead guilty and we'll give you 10.
Call it what it is. $100,000 guaranteed annually before triple lifetime.
So a guaranteed conviction, when that motherfucker stamped that shit convicted, that check is already in the mail. So by the time you get to Lorraine, they already got your number, they got your bed. They just waiting for somebody else to get out so you can fill that motherfucker bed. So when your bed number, move. Yeah, when it's time to rotate. No. Oh, you get it, man. You get a flow quick. I remember when I went through that shit, I had to lay on the floor for a couple of days, man. They just kept giving me a blanket. There you go. Like I was in the old west.
Right. Park your horse.
The best thing about it, yeah. Take off your motherfucking knapsack and roll that bitch out.
Shit.
And shit, don't be the motherfucker laying there next to the phone. They'll pick you to be the porter. Everybody else got to lay there, can't move. And you got to sweep the floor around all these motherfuckers in the middle of the floor and shit. This is where they sleep.
Right. And
yeah, you sweep the motherfucking floor around me, man.
To make a point, though, I'll go back on and elaborate what you said earlier. It is true. Right now, our youth have lost their respect for each other.
Yeah.
And themselves. And if you can't...
Life don't mean nothing.
That means that you don't respect other people's property. You don't respect...
Yeah. I was in the grocery store when he threw himself off of the fucking table. I was so embarrassed. I looked the other way. I ain't
even
want to look at him. And I know he was embarrassed.
Yeah, he had to be.
I said, you know, that was, just the idea.
I'm being cool.
But you don't have no respect for
yourself, man.
No. You made sure your fucking stuff. In other words, you're trying to
put your
grocery
stuff
and hold your fucking
pants. At the same time.
And that's what happened.
Have you ever seen a motherfucker try to fight? They do like this. What? And it don't just be one of them, it be two of them. They both be standing there throwing their hands up.
And
come on.
I mean, like,
right. And if you ever seen
it. Yeah, right. Ain't about hitting no fences. That's why the jails are so crowded, man. Because the police know the motherfucker's sagging. He ain't going to be able to hit that fence. So all he got to do is just wait. Boop. What he do? He got to stop pulling his pants up, and that's when they grab him. Put a motherfucking pants up, put a belt on. You know, they tried to say that it was illegal to wear your pants like that, but they've been fucking with the Constitution, man, for years. And they always put the shit on the black people.
Honestly, that is
a deep. It is, because if I can see your booty cheeks, motherfucker.
My panties hanging out like that, nobody can call them. But this dude can walk around with all his pants and his claws.
Perfect example. Perfect example. Getting off work today, I rode past the bus stop. There was a girl and a guy in the bus stop. The chick had on black Nikes, black socks, some basketball shorts, and a white tee. She had her hair cut all off. The dude was sitting next to her. He had on some skinny jeans and some flip-flops. He looked more like a girl than a girl. Did the roles in fucking reverse. And he had a blonde streak in his afro, went straight down the back. I remember when only women wore shit like that. Man, come on. Tips and streets and shit like that. Let's bring Al Porter in, man. He's at the Black on Black Crime meeting this evening. What's going on now?
Oh, man, first of all, shoot, I'm just getting in, so I said let me kick back for about 10, 11 minutes, give you all a phone call within that time frame, and say thank you very much to, of course, Hood Talk Radio, Hood Tools Radio for representing. Emacs came through there, and this is the first time Emacs, man, Chairman Earn for Oppressed People's Nation, and also, of course, the Ward 3 Council candidate in East Cleveland. Somebody came and told him that was the first time that they have seen since the Love Fest anybody line dancing on the streets of Euclid. The sound system was crisp and clear. You had people line dancing. I mean, you have to have music, or you have to have the right kind of sound, because if you feed folks and you don't have a party atmosphere, people were coming there for the food and the school supplies.
Right.
And let's make that very honest. My man Chairman Earn, he did the same thing he always does on his birthday. He always finds some place to give something back to the community. every year on his birthday. So with that being said, he chose to come back to Black on Black Crime, where his first meeting for Oppressed People's Nation was held. Now, folks, some know him. They're going to vote for him. But I just want to throw it out there. People came to eat and leave, get school supplies and leave. That was it, you know. But because of the nice atmosphere, it was nice to hear that, you know, music such as the 137 Shots remix, 137 Shot remix, a Dope Quill song, Emacs Classics, Belting Out, you know, some other stuff here and there, Against the Grain, heard some Beat Effect in the middle of all of there. People feeling the Emacs joints and all of that. People didn't leave. Now, one thing about our people, we get full. We're going to leave. But instead, they were laughing, bobbing their head. People say, oh, the food's gone. And it's a lot of folks, oh, man, oh, well. And they were bobbing their head until it was time for a black-on-black crime meet. As a matter of fact, if you had to say it, okay, it's time for the meeting to start, everybody, people would have still been chilling there until probably about 8:30. It was already going on 8. You know what I'm saying? It was already going on 8 when you let people know, and they were still slow to move. So I got to say thank you, man, because a lot of folks talk about, I'm a great DJ, I do this, I do that, I do the other, I'm so-and-so, so-and-so. Man, y'all just spinning records. A DJ is in tune with their community and what's going on. Case in point, the Hood Talk Radio Show, Hood Tunes Radio, on the music side, Al Porter, Man in the Street. A DJ is in tune with the community and events. You know, that's what you did. I mean, I use it as an example, and I'm going to shut up after this example, I mean, a little bit. But the example is the Warriors. All right, she wasn't just spinning records. She was a DJ because she was in tune. She was letting folks know. You know, that the baseball Furies had struck out. You know, she was letting folks know where the Warriors were. Come get these fools. They being running. You know, so that's what a real DJ is. They're not just an on-air personality. They're involved in the community. So I wanted to throw that out there and let people know that should they choose, man, we're going to be a black-on-black crime headquarters at 10:15 a.m. in the morning. 10:15 a.m. in the morning, because people can get on a bus and go downtown to City Hall. Now, if they can't get there, they might want to just show up at 11 a.m. at City Hall, E6th, Lakeside, City Hall, because the black contractors are going to knock on the mayor's door. Last year, they had a few hundred. This year, they want to plan on getting way more than that. They're going to beat on the door and holler, give up workers some jobs instead of seeing suburbanites and out-of-towners get all the jobs. Give our people in the hood some of these so-and-so jobs, and we going to embarrass you behind this and elect you, fool.
That's right.
You know,
they always forget those things. They always forget those things, man.
You know, so it's like, hey, it's an election year.
Definitely. So is there anything special you want to hear, Al?
Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's what's going down.
All right.
You know, so again, man, I just had to take the time before I relaxed. It's been one of them long so-and-so days, but I still had to call in and say thank you very much, my brother, for being a DJ and for having a party atmosphere like that, man. It took me back to days of the Love Fest, man. I really appreciate it today.
And I appreciated it too, man. I was able to, you know what I'm saying, exercise a little bit and have a little fun with the people, you know what I'm saying? And basically, like, man, just, you know, get involved with it, man. Have fun, you know?
Right.
And I knew pretty much what everything was about, and so I tried to, you know, keep myself in tune, like you say, for what was going on. And I did, and earlier in the show, I did, you know, say how surprising it was to me, you know, because truthfully, I haven't seen, we don't see that kind of support for our people, you know, on this side of town over here, you know, unless it's some type of festival or if they're giving something away over at Woodhill or some things of that nature. But we don't see, you know, the support from the communities like I saw today. You know what I mean? I totally have an understanding, a totally different understanding on how and why things and people in East Cleveland are so connected to each other. You know what I'm saying? Even with all the things that's going on, man, in our city,
right.
I am in awe. I am in total awe right now over what really just happened out there in East Cleveland. You know, I have never seen people get out there and dance. They were out there line dancing. They was having fun, and they sat on that wall.
Right.
And they waited, and they waited for those school supplies. They waited for their food, and just like you said, they didn't leave. They did not leave. Nobody pulled up and left. The parking lot was full of cars. People came, and it was so sad when we ran out of school supplies for the kids because some people came a little later, and they had gave what they had to give. And, you know, some people really was upset about that because they looked forward to that helping hand from someone in their community. You know, normally you see people, you have people at the churches and they sitting all out in the front selling stuff. Or, you know, it'd be a free, you know, dinner on every other Sunday or every other weekend or anything like that. But then you got to go in there and you got to sit and listen to the preacher talk for 3 or 4 hours before they feed you. You know what I'm saying? Not just show up and be counted. That's it.
Right.
That's what he asked for. He didn't say, before we give away this and that and the other, y'all got to listen to me say, you know, on the fifth, think about Smith. You know, he said that after the food was gave away.
Right.
He said, you know, thank y'all for coming. And thank y'all for helping me be who I am. That's basically what I heard from Ernest L. Smith. And I swear, he'd get my vote. He'd get my vote. Because I appreciate him saying that even if he don't win, he just wants his people to be aware.
Right.
And to me, that is winning in itself.
Mm-hmm.
That's winning in itself, man. Just deciding that, hey, I may not win this thing, but I might. So I'm going to keep going. I'm going to do everything that I need to do. And I have some questions for him, you know, because I didn't want Dr. Brown to feel like I just alienated her. But I had some questions for him, but I didn't say, you know what? I threw him straight in the garbage can with my empty pop can when I was there. Because there was no need to ask anything like, what are you going to do to turn our back into communities? And every question I had for that man, he answered it in just what he did.
Right.
He answered it in what he did. So for all y'all out there, y'all need to check on Ernest L. Smith. Check him out. Check OPN and see what y'all are about. All right?
Yep.
Going on. They got some real shit going on. They ain't just talking about it. They about it. So I appreciate the opportunity to be able to come and, you know, say, provide the entertainment for such a powerful organization, man. I appreciate that.
Man. It was on my list of topics.
And another thing, but I had to pull myself back, man, because everybody came and everybody was dancing. The bougie girl, the young, the old ladies, the shapely ones, the square ones, the clean ones, the dirty ones. They was all there, and they was all having a good time together.
That's right.
You know, so I appreciate that, man. That was something like if you never had eggplant. You know, that was like an eggplant. My first dish of eggplant, man. That was something too. for me. And so it actually gave me a little bit more inspiration to continue on with what I hope is the right thing that I'm doing.
Man, I
thank you, man. I appreciate that. And what we're going to do, we just played
before I go
rank before you call. So we're going to go and we're going to let Al Porter tell us what song he want to hear right now.
Oh, what song y'all want to hear right now? Well,
yeah, what song would you like to hear?
Well, listen, I'll tell you what. Before I go, there was a song that I need to hear because they were definitely in the house today. I got to hear In the Club, the Big Leg song.
All right.
Got to hear that one. Because you had it happening out there in the street, and I got to say, man, it was on and popping. So I've got to request that. I've got to request that.
That's what we're going to play just for you, man. Here it is. Hood Talk Radio. The Big Leg.
Yeah. Well, I'm in the club. In the club. In the club. Looking for my girlfriend. Big legs, little legs, long hair, short hair. She can be brown skin, light skin. She can get it in. She can have big legs, little legs, light skin, or brown skin. She can be a little girl or a big girl. I don't care, cause she's in my world. Why don't you get mad, cause I'm looking all around, looking for my girlfriend. At you, baby, from your head to your feet, cause I like you. This is what it is. Won't you try to turn around? I'm handling my business. I'ma get you. Girl, come to me. We can go all night if that's what you like.
Well, yeah. In the club, in the club, in the club, looking for my girlfriend.
Thank you.
to come up to me and got money. That's it, dog.
Right.
You know, she just, you know.
Do this. Six.
Shit,
wow. Six.
We get down like that. Like, you know. Sometimes
they're surprised. Right? Oh, yeah.
And be like, oh, we, yeah, gutter up in here.
Gutter up in here, like that party I was in last week. I'm, I played Atomic Dog, and they was like, cuz, what's up? You know, these are gangsters, motherfuckers. So I started playing, you know, why you baby sitting on it, two or three shots, and everybody started dancing. I was like, okay, that's what they want to hit. But today was a community thing, and I understood. At the same time, it was Ernest's birthday, and he does his Cornham and everybody that was around. That's what he do every year on his birthday. He gives back. He go out and spend about $600-$700.
Go a
few hours and get stuff away. You know, and I appreciate it.
You need more elders like that.
Yep. So like I said, that inspired me, man, and it really gave me a totally different outlook on the communities. I'm not gonna call them neighborhoods. Because that's a community. When somebody from the community can say, hey, community, come on down and join us and, you know, partake in the festivities. You know, I'm sharing my blessings with people I don't even know. And here they are to show you some love. By the time it was all done, everybody said, on November the 5th, November Smith, that was the theme of the whole show. The whole set was on November the 5th. Remember Smith. So if you're somewhere around in the Cleveland area and November 5th elections come around and you're in that booth, look up for Ernest L. Smith, Councilman Ward 3. Go ahead and cast that ballot. Because, like I was telling now, I had five questions and two major questions that would have answered them all if he could have. But just based on what I saw, I didn't need to ask him any damn thing. You know what I'm saying? Because I asked him, motherfucker, if I'm there and the politician wants to talk shit, I got to ask questions because I'm part of the, quote, constituency, unquote. So, you know, I need to know, you know, what type of shit you bring to this, to the neighborhood. How can we turn our neighborhood back into a community? What are you going to do to continue to grow in said community? What implements or what plans have you started?
How have we also to take consideration? Help these young youth that are already equipped with each other to try to turn themselves around and now start to apply that
positive direction. You know, and one thing about it though, I have noticed a lot. What these people acting like ain't no jobs out here, I've seen a lot of black dudes in jobs where mostly white dudes, like tree cutting positions. Half of these white dudes, they get them party tags, you know what I'm saying? So some of them can't drive the trucks no more. They don't have no choice but to hire an ex-felons because these guys are eager to work. They already know they just fucked up somewhere in life, made the wrong turn, and they need a chance to get back into society. And believe it or not, a lot of these motherfucking company owners is like, you know what, fuck that shit. Let's hire some of these motherfuckers that they don't want us to hire. I guarantee you, it just might work out. One thing that I have learned to do is to be thankful. As much as I don't like that shitty-ass job that I have, I ain't the only one, and it ain't the first time somebody said I can't stand this job. Every motherfucking morning when I punch in, as soon as I touch the floor of that damn job, man, it just seems like the energy gets sucked out of me. But you know what keeps me going? At the end of the day, I could pay one of them bills. That's all I look at. If I looked at the job itself, yeah, I ain't living in my mama's basement. Thank God. I love my mama, but I don't want to live in her basement. Because I sure couldn't live, have my TV sit next to hers in her living room, my couch sit next to hers in her living room. It ain't going to work. I can't have my studio set up in the dining room next to her dining room table and her Cheerio. Ain't no way in the world we going to sit there and do hood talk radio in mama's dining room. Live. Y'all going to be hearing her cuss me out. Why the damn man sitting in his mother? How many people you bringing over? God. You know, it will always be an argument about what I do. It's been like that since I was little with my mama. All the way. When I started working, Mm-mm-mm. And you working out, hurry up and get your own plates. And so I did. Because I remember how it was living with my mama. And I love my mama, but I don't want to live with my mama. No way. Mm-mm. I'll be the motherfucker climbing up on the roof fixing the gutter. Oh, the gutter hanging down. You need to climb up on the roof and fix it. Like, wait a minute. Ain't that what the landlord thought? Call Cheese and tell him the door hanging off. You need to come fix it. Like, he at work right now. Oh, well, when you get off work, you tell him I said, get over here and fix the door. Man, he might not feel like it. He might be tired. I'll say something to him.
That's all right. I'll call the landlord.
Call the damn landlord. Hey, you'll demand that I get somebody to come over and fix your shit. Hey, call the landlord. Y'all know what it is, man. 646-478-0944. We got about 5 minutes left to go in this show. And I got to play this one song because it is a requested song. So y'all know what it is. Motherfucker. Right here on Hood Talk Radio, man. Be right back.
Thank you.
You are welcome, but tonight the show has come to an end. So we thank you all for listening. Thank you all for calling in. Catch us Friday, 8 to 10, same number. Thank you. E-Max, and I'm out.